welcome to episode 82 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth. This week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Sandy and Robin, as well as some very special guests. Jill Hires owns Custom Travel Professionals, which is coming up on its five-year anniversary very shortly, and Brandy Tryon is the owner of Tiggerific Travels and Compass Travel Experts. She has 16 agents located across the U.S. All of us have several agents located around the country. Welcome to the podcast, and thank you for joining us. One of the things we hear a lot, especially when we're on a trip, is, I want your job. Yes, we travel a lot, and yes, locations are usually fun and picturesque. But is it all awesome all the time? Well, of course, nothing is. And when we come back home from a research trip, there's usually a pile of work waiting for us. We wanted to spend some time this week giving you an idea of what a day in the life of a travel agent really is like, what you should expect if you want to pursue a career in travel, and what you should be aware of. Let's get started. So I think the first question, and this is actually sort of an interesting one, and I want everybody to be very honest. When you, before you were a travel agent, did you use a travel agent to travel?
Yeah.
I did as well.
Brandy. I did not.
Sandy?
Yes, I did.
You did?
With you, I did, yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, not really you as my agent, but you had...
But so you had experience. But when you planned travel in general, like, would you go to an agent first thing?
I did when I was a lot younger to get plane tickets and stuff. But when we did a couple of Disney trips, we went through a travel agent for groups, and I used that agent again for my family trip.
Okay. So, Jill, when you used agents, did you use her all the time or just some of the time?
My last travel agent was a AAA travel agent for Disney, and I was frustrated with that situation because it was a situation where, she wouldn't watch the promos for me. There was a dining thing, but then it was just very difficult to work with her. Prior to that, we had used a local travel agency that was a brick and mortar for a trip to Costa Rica. And then for a cruise, we had done a travel agent that my husband knew. So, we had used them. I wouldn't say that I was loyal to one, but we did use them for all of our trips.
And Brandy, you said you didn't use one. Can you tell us why?
I grew up doing it myself, traveling with my family. They would do it themselves. I like to do things myself. I like to be in charge, very OCD planner when it comes to planning things. And, you know, like we hear sometimes from clients or from people who aren't so sure about using a travel agency. I had all of those same kind of hangups and I guess issues. Now I see obviously the value, but back then, it just never really crossed my mind. I was able to do it myself, and it really never crossed my mind. We didn't use them as a family, and so I just never even thought about it, really. I was one of those that just didn't think about it.
So do you guys get the question? When I first started as a travel agent, I worked another job. This was a part-time job for me at first, and I worked with a bunch of millennials who really liked to plan their own travel, and you know, I had one of my friends ask me, why would I use you? You know, so do you guys get that question or do you have a good answer to that question?
I get that question quite a bit. And I usually, because, my background is in real estate. So, travel is very similar to that in that, as a buyer of travel, a client, if you will, it's the same scenario where, if you buy a piece of real estate and you have a buyer's agent, that agent is your advocate. That agent is somebody who works hard for you. And the supplier or the seller pays the commission. So I always equate it with that. And then they kind of understand, especially if they've bought their own home before, because that makes sense. And I explain to them that the commission is built into the price of every trip. It's just whether or not the supplier keeps it or pays it out. And that seems to make sense to them as well.
Mm-hmm. I use the exact same analogy. I think it's the easiest way for people to understand sort of how we work. And then also, you know, a real estate agent. Because the next question that I always get is, if you work on commission, you must be trying to sell me the most expensive thing out there so you can make the most money possible. And although I'm happy to sell you the most expensive thing out there if you can afford it, you know, we are in the same business as a realtor. If we sell you a house that you can't afford, that deal's going to go bust.
Right. Exactly. And I would rather sell somebody a smaller trip and have them come back to me next year, mm-hmm. or, you know, in, you know, a couple of years when they have that big anniversary or something like that. I mean, I would rather have somebody just be loyal to me and know that I'm being honest in the front. But.
So let's talk a little bit about what it takes to, what people think our job is and what they ask us when they start talking to us. So Robin, I know a lot of people ask you about your job, pretty frequently. What are some of the biggest assumptions people make about what we do?
That we travel for free.
Mm-hmm.
They think that we go to travel and we're just sitting on a beach or just, you know, walking around a city and doing what we want. And that is so far from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't travel for free. When we do travel for education, we do pay for it. Yes, it can be discounted at times, but you're pretty much there on their time. So I just did an educational thing with Universal recently, and there was a day where we were at breakfast at 8 a.m. and I didn't get back to my room till 11 p.m. And
now, it was no fun at all though, right?
Oh, I'm not going to lie, but I mean, it was a really long day but we learned so much.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. There's nothing like seeing it and touching it and being able to describe it. And that's why these resorts invite us and show us around, you know, it helps us sell their property.
It's a bit of a catch-22 because you do get to travel to these wonderful places, but then you are working. And although working involves seeing a resort, you know, looking at the rooms, it doesn't sound all that difficult, but when you do it, it's actually a very taxing day.
Yeah.
And I know Jill and Brandy, you both just got back from Jamaica, right?
We did. Yeah. We went, to Jamaica with the Jamaican, tourist board, and it was great. Just like she was just saying, but I mean, I had never been personally to Jamaica before. And so I really needed to go. I sent clients there. I felt, you know, there's only so much you can learn on trainings and maps and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent 4 nights there, 3 full days. I stepped onto the beach twice. Both were to take pictures. So I didn't I didn't really experience, you know, what a vacationer would experience. You know, we didn't get to lay out by the beach. There was a couple times we took, you know, a nap, but it was like an hour quickly before dinner. And so it was either a nap or look cute. And we were all about having a nap. But seriously, we were getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning at the very latest. Some mornings it was 5 or 5:30. And there were some mornings we weren't back until midnight. So it was a lot of work, just like she was saying, lots of work. We were visiting several resorts every day, in and out, and it wasn't resorts where we'd go and sit on the beach for a while. We would walk through them. A lot of them didn't have elevators. We were going up 2, 3, 4, gosh, one resort. It just kept going up and up and up, with no elevator. And, you know, so we kept going up and kept going up and kept walking around, and then we'd go see this and that. So yeah, just like she was saying, it was fun. The fun for us on that kind of trip were the people we were with, but it certainly wasn't a vacation by any stretch of the imagination. So that's the thing, is it was great, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And now I can tell my clients so much more about a country that I absolutely fell in love with and I love, but it was exhausting. And, you know, we've been back, I don't know, a week and a half now, and I'm still exhausted. You know, I'm still catching up trying for that kind of stuff. So traveling, can be great, and that's what we have to do to go and see stuff, but it certainly isn't always a vacation, especially when it's a trip to get familiar with a location.
Did you guys have to have roommates?
We were each other's roommate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you knew before you went, and you picked each other though, right?
Yeah. You could choose.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't know.
No.
And sometimes they put you with a stranger. So, you know, anyway, it's not like you can bring your spouse, you know.
The one that I was on, we had to pick somebody, but you didn't know the people. And there was one girl that sort of introduced me to someone else on one of the travel boards, and we ended up as roommates, and luckily we got along. but you never know.
Yeah.
And I've gone on trips where I didn't know I would have had a roommate until I got there. And I opened the door and lo and behold, there was my roommate in her underwear. Hello.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I know. When I did my Disney cruise, trip, my roommate got to the room before I did, and she was already in the bed. And so I got the little cot the whole week. I was like, oh, great, no, you take the bed. It's okay. I'll sleep on the couch.
Yeah, so I always equate it when people ask me about my travel. I mean, one question they ask is, can you write it off? And the answer is yes and no. It depends on the trip and who you're with. You know, when I go on a family vacation, it's a little bit harder to write it off. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but I hope the IRS is not listening. Because I have no idea if I were to get audited, you know, how much of that. I do have a good accountant, though. So, so it's sort of a yes and no thing. It can be kind of hazy. There are actual rules out there. The IRS has written about cruises and whether or not they can be written off. And so it's always sort of a question mark for us, even if it's a conference. But I always also, you know, I sort of equate it with a sales conference. You may get to go to a really, to Boston for a sales conference. And Boston is a great city and it's really fun and there's a lot to do there and there's great beer there. But you might not get to do any of that stuff. I mean, I actually went to a conference in Dallas where I'm pretty sure Dallas looks like the inside of a hotel, a really nice Hyatt. Because that's all I saw of it, really.
Yeah. Exactly. So. That was how our Puerto Rico conference was. I mean, 2 days. And, you know, so they had, the way it was set up was some people were there invited by the tourism board or invited by this destination wedding thing. And so they were on FAMS. They were required to be at everything. And they had late night dinners and early stuff. And we were just there as conference attendees. So we blew off one of the decks and we're like, we need to see some of San Juan and Old San Juan and, you know, the cruise port. We just needed to see it because that's what people ask us about. They don't ask us about a class that we may have already sat through in another conference. So we did kind of go out and do that a little bit, but that we picked the day that it rained. So you know, there's that. But, yeah.
I do want to interject something because you brought up a good point about cruise ports. And I think it's so important to actually see a country outside of the cruise port because that gives you a little snippet. And the way that locals act to people who are there only for a short period of time, knowing that they only have you for 6 hours to be able to make the money that they need for that day, their attitude towards you the way that they approach you is going to be very different than if you're there all week. So, you know, a lot of people will say to me, oh, I can't stand Jamaica because when I went there on a cruise, they were so pushy. And I'm like, you don't understand. Yeah. They're pushy because they have you for 6 hours. If you're there all week, it's a completely different story. They're the kindest, most wonderful, generous people you've ever met. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you only had 6 hours with somebody or with a entire cruise ship to make your money for the day, then you're going to be a little more pushy. So I'm glad that you brought up the cruise port thing because I think that's important to point out.
Yep.
Yes. And the cruise port is a neighborhood. I mean, it's just like any place else. If you go to any town in America or any country, some parts of it are friendlier than others. And that's just by nature of, you know, it could be anything from the climate makes them grumpy to the terrain to the, you know, whatever. So, yeah, if you only see a country by the cruise port, then you're not really seeing it.
Yeah. It's a good way to realize what you want to come back and see.
Yeah.
Spend more time.
See, that's why I like cruises, because you can go to a bunch of different countries and figure out which ones you might want to go back to.
Yeah. So let's back on topic a little bit, because we could talk about travel all day. But so I want to talk a little bit about what a typical day is like, because I think people think that our job is, I'm planning all day long, I'm planning my next trip, and then I'm going to travel on it, and then I come back and I plan my next trip, and then, so let's talk a little bit about our days. And we all do things differently, so there's no wrong or right way to do it. That's one thing, we're all independent, and so that's, most travel agents are there. It is possible to be an employed travel agent with a base salary, but most of us work on commission and we're independent. So let's first start. What time does your day start? I wake up at 6, but I take my daughter to school, and then I'm in the office by 7:30.
I drive my kids to school at around 8 o'clock. So usually I'm checking emails while they're getting ready, and then I come back, and by like 8:30, I'm starting my day.
Randy?
I get up between 5:30 and 6. I'm a single mom, so I also take the kids to school. Well, I take one to school. The other one gets in on the bus here at back of the house. And then his bus comes at 7:30, and I come straight into the office from there. So about 7:35 or so, I'm in the office.
Okay. Jill?
Well, I sound like a princess because my husband takes both the kids to school and gets them ready in the morning, packs their lunches, and I get up about 6:30, 7 o'clock, get my shower, everything, and my assistant is here by 8:30. So that's if I have not already started work by 8, then I start at 8:30 when she gets here.
Robin?
My day is a little different because what I do is I split my day in two most of the time. Most of the time, I get my younger daughter to school, and she doesn't start school. I don't drop her off till 9. So I come home. I start work between 9 and 9:30. I work until about 2:30. I go pick up my older daughter. I help with homework. I do make dinner. And then I start working again in the evening from 7 to 10.
Or later. I've gotten emails from Robin later.
Yes. Like 2 in the morning.
Or later, yeah. Sometimes much later. So that transitions into when do you usually end your day? And I generally try to work till 5:30. It usually ends up being closer to 6, and then sometimes I come back. Like, we record this podcast at night after 8 o'clock. So on Mondays, I come home, cook dinner, and then come right back to work. What about you?
I kind of do it as needed. So I will work until I have to pick the kids up at, like, 3, and then I'll come back and try to work some more. But by about 6, it's too hectic with my husband coming home and everything. So, but, you know, I answer emails as long as people are emailing me, or if they're texting me, or if they're calling me, you know. So I've been on Facebook with clients at 11 o'clock at night, you know, chatting about stuff. That doesn't really end. You know.
Brandy?
I try really hard to end at 5 as well. My kids both get off the bus. One gets off at 3, one gets off at 4. So, I mean, of course, I have to take little breaks then, but usually they just come into the office and make a lot of noise and leave. So, then I shoo them outside or to do homework. But typically, I try to end around 5, get dinner ready. You know, if there's something I need to do, I don't like to have things waiting to the next day. So I go ahead and come back and get to it if there's not something going on. But kids are in sports, kids are in this and that. So usually I have other things to do. But like tonight, or there's many nights that I have things to do. It just depends what's going on, that I'll come back in and work some more. But I try really hard to end it at 5, so that it's just like if I were to go out to a normal, you know, 9-to-5 job when I was a banker, you know, get off at 5 and then come home. I try that. I try to have that balance. It doesn't always work, but I try.
Jill?
I work until about 2:30, and then I go get Garrett from school, my son, from school, get my daughter from school, and then depending – my daughter's in competitive cheer. My son does baseball. So then I begin that cheer mom mode, and then I come back to it and I answer emails throughout that time. And then, like, right before we got on this call, I had a client text me and say, can I make another payment towards my, you know, trip? And yeah, you know, I can hop on real quick and do that. So, while I say I'm out of the office at 2:30, that does not mean that my day has ended, you know, because I have close to 30 agents and somebody's always asking something or doing something. Yeah. So in addition to my clients, I have agent questions as well. Sure.
So I think, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it seems so flexible. And I think we all can agree that it does afford us some flexibility. But at the same time,
absolutely,
I think we all can agree that we work sort of all the time. We say,
yeah.
And it's one of those things you think, oh, I'm going to work for myself. It's going to be so flexible. Okay. Yes, you could go pick up your kids from school, but the whole time you're thinking, okay,
or I'm on the phone while I'm doing that.
Yes. Or I'm on the phone. Okay. So, so we talked a little bit about the flexibility and, lack thereof sometimes, but, the other question that people have is, how much money do you make?
So when people ask me and they want this as, they ask me about, you know, oh, I just want to do it part time or whatever, the biggest thing that I tell them is, you don't get paid till people travel most of the time. So,
well, after they travel.
Yeah. So, you gotta kind of, it takes a while to build up that steady stream, you know, and some months are better than others. I mean, people who have worked on commission or in sales realize it and they get it. But, it's not like you go punch a time card and get an hourly paycheck. And I think that is the thing that probably discourages the most people and just nips it right there. Mm-hmm. Because it is kind of a, a luxury to be able to do that and take that time to build a client list and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that stops people from jumping in.
I always encourage people to test their leads before they jump in too, because everybody thinks that their friends and family are going to book travel with them.
They do.
And they don't. I mean, just so you know.
No, they do
they
not.
They do not. Some will.
Some of them do.
Some of them will, yes. And they will be very loyal to you, but most of them will not.
Yeah.
And they'll look at you sideways when you ask them about it. So don't assume that the people that you know are going to book travel. And actually, when I started this business, I don't know if you remember this, but I actually asked some of my best friends, including Sandy, would you buy travel from me? If I were to do this, just hypothetically, I'm asking for a friend. And my friends were very honest with me. Some of them were like, you know what? I would never use a travel agent. And others were like, yes, absolutely. I trust you completely. You're well-traveled. And then others were like, maybe for some trips, maybe not. So it's good to test your leads.
It's really funny because I've been in this industry for almost 10 years and only this year, has my sister ever bought travel from me, my own sister. So here's that,
yep.
You know, But they do say sometimes family are the worst clients. So,
yeah.
It took her 9 years to convince her husband to book through me.
Yeah.
And mine's the same. I mean, my sister has never booked for me, and I'm going on 7 years in the industry. And I have a couple of cousins that have booked through me, but other than that, I don't have any family that has. And it's, you know, it gets irritating sometimes, but a lot of times your family and your closest friends don't book through you because, well, I don't even have a reason why, but when they don't, you have to realize that that's okay, because sometimes they're more trouble than they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you love them, you know, they're the ones that are going to need more hand-holding than anybody else. But those are also the ones that ask you tons of questions and then go and book on their own. And I have that happen a lot more, probably so from family and close, close friends than anybody. So you just have to be able to have a thick skin about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is a good time to stress that is how we get paid, is we can answer a ton of questions for you and we won't get paid anything for that.
Yep.
So unless you book your travel with us, then you're basically using our time and not, travel agents are a very nice lot, for the most part. You want them to be. I think we all are. And so, you know, we want to help you, but at the same time, we do need to make a living. And so, you know, it's sort of a common thing for me to go ahead and tell people how I get paid up front so that they'll know that if they're shopping me to then just go book on Expedia, that they should. And and many people do say, you know what, I'm probably not going to book with you, so let's just stop it right here.
Yeah, and I've had people tell me they've asked several other travel agents to price the same package.
Ooh,
and and I'm like, you know what, you're asking everyone but one to work for free, so just pick someone you like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what would your advice be to somebody who's looking to work with an agent? What should they look for? What qualifications? What tells them that this is really a travel agent who is serious about their job? And it's okay to be a new travel agent, and, you know, we're always learning anyway, but some are better than others. And so what would you say is something someone should look for?
Well, I think that it's important to understand that everybody has a different personality, and some personalities work better with others. And I only mention that because I have some really amazing agents that work with me, and I can tell you that the person who works with one is not going to necessarily do well with another. So definitely find somebody who is that kindred spirit in the way that you communicate, in the way that you handle things and so forth, because that's going to make for a really good working relationship. I think that's probably as important as anything else.
I completely agree. I would kind of piggyback on that and say, when you have somebody that has that, just like she said, that kindred spirit, that person you can work with, they're going to trust you more too, because there are things that you're going to have to trust that agent about because you just don't know. And you've got to make sure that you have somebody that's going to find out what you want, not what your neighbor liked best, not what your friend down the road or your coworker liked best. You know, it's our job to find out what you want and customize your trip to that person, that traveler. And so you've got to find somebody that's going to listen to you, that's going to get it, because I may not get what somebody else wants. And then I think, for me personally, I like it when people, I try to be very upfront and honest with somebody when they want to go somewhere. So it's somewhere that I really am comfortable with, whether I've been there or not, I'll tell them. But if it's somewhere I'm not comfortable, then I'll tell them that too, and I'll give them the option, which I've done that with you all. I refer people to, you know, Elizabeth, you know, or people that if it's something I'm just not comfortable with, I'll tell the client. And I've had clients that have come back and said, no, I know you've never done it before, but you can learn through me. So go ahead and do that. But they've trusted me enough that they'll give me, you know, that leeway and that rope. And but if they didn't trust me, they wouldn't do that. And that would be fine. I would pass them on to someone else. So, yeah, you've definitely got to find somebody that you've got a good relationship like that with.
So that gets back to the whole listening thing, where you want to make sure that your agent is listening to you. And it's the same relationship that you would have with your real estate agent or with your hairdresser. You're not going to keep going to a hairdresser that you hate, that you can't get along with, that you can't chit chat with.
Right.
So it's sort of that same, I really feel like it's that same relationship. And heaven knows I don't get along with everybody. I have a very, you know, strong personality, but, the people I do get along with, I get along with fiercely. So, you know, it's okay. Not everyone is a perfect match. And so I think on the flip side of that, we look for agents. As you know, Jill and Brandy and I all own an agency. And where we're looking to bring on independent contractors, we're looking for some of those same qualities, people who will listen to people. And
it's customer service.
Yes, customer service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sales, and you have to have customer service skills, because it's not all selling all the time. There's a lot of follow through. Once you've made that sale, it's not over. You know, you have to, there's so many steps along the way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you got to have a good...
Well, I always tell people, think about the last time you planned your own travel. And how much time that took you for real, like how much time you thought about it, how much time you put into it. Now imagine doing that for 50 people at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, that is really what it is. And I do feel like I work from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed. My day is like, my brain is just on. And in fact, tonight I was sitting eating dinner. It was the first time I sat down because I worked and I was working. I used to work in libraries, and there was always a time where I could just chit chat with somebody or sort of take a brain break, water cooler conversation. I really don't have that anymore. And so then I come home, I cook dinner, I sat down and I just sort of stared at my sandwich. It was delicious. But I was like, once I sat down and my brain stopped working, I was like, oh, you know, yeah.
I got to admit, my day is not that packed as yours, but you know, you're the owner.
So there's the lesson. Yeah, exactly. Don't be an owner.
Well, no, I mean, but you know, I've never sold an Adventures by Disney yet, and you've sold a couple. So, you know, it's a trade-off. If you want to, sales is endless. You can go as high as you want, you know, or you can figure out what you need and do that. Or, you know, it's just kind of, I like it because I have the flexibility to do the stuff that I need to do for my family, because an 8-to-5 job was not working for me in that regard. And so, you know, that part is really good. But it's, you know, I'm in 3 years in the business now, and I'm just now starting to get, well, not just now, but regularly, I'm getting good paychecks and stuff. So,
well, here's the other thing too. I think because it is one of those situations where you're independent and you have to get your own clientele and that sort of thing, you get out of it what you put into it. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to continually churn the waters and talk to people and be in front of people and put your name out there and whatever, you're going to have better results than somebody who just says, hey, I still travel now. Yep. And that's exactly the end of it. And the other thing that I think is very important for people to realize is that where we differ from selling, you know, Mary Kay or 31 Gifts or whatever, you know, basically it's the same product all the time. They may discontinue colors, they may add a couple of things, but for the most part, it's the same thing. The world changes daily. Mm-hmm. There's a named storm, it could decimate an area overnight or Zika, whatever. All GSA, those things change constantly. And you have to be on top of everything, because every little minute thing affects your traveler.
Yeah. And the world is a big place. I mean, I'm kind of excited, because if I close on a cruise to Antarctica, which I'm not sure I will do, but if I do, that means I've sold every continent in the last 12 months. But isn't that cool? Yeah. Now, I haven't sold a lot of some of them, but at least, you know, I've touched all
of them.
And so the world is really big, and those are all very, very different trips, and that takes a lot of work. And so I tend to work a little bit slower than some of my colleagues do, because I'm having to research and learn new things. And, So, you know, some of my clients do have to wait a week for a quote from me, and I don't like that, but that is what happens sometimes just because, you know, some of them are just so involved. So
do it right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us at Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. And if you would like to get in touch with either Jill or Brandy, please email us and I will be happy to put you in touch with them. We would love to thank our guests for being here tonight to give us a broader perspective. Thank you, Jill and Brandy, very
much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And on behalf of Sandy, Robin, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.